Well, I guess that very strange website, Serpo.org, is definitely down. It's been down for about a week now. And this is, of course, the website that had someone posting on it by anonymous and a number of other people participating in that website that claims that we sent a half a dozen or a dozen astronauts to a far-off distant planet in an exchange program many years ago. But the website's down. I have no idea why. Maybe you do. If you do, check in with us. We'll be back with the rest of your phone calls. Open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Now, here's an incredible story just given to me here. Scientists in the rainforest have just announced that they have found a 50-foot live Brontosaurus dinosaur. It has been captured, and they plan to bring it to the United States within 1 week. It was found, apparently, with two smaller dinosaurs. And what an incredible story. Absolutely incredible. Of course, now that I have your attention, April Fools. East of the Rockies, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Hi there.
Good morning. Is this George?
Yes, it sure is. Hi there.
Hello, George. This is Craig from Naples, Florida.
Hi, Craig.
Love your show. I listen a lot. I'm kind of an insomniac, so I end up listening.
How much sleep do you get? How much sleep do you get? Does an insomniac get 4 or 5 hours a day, maybe?
Tops. And, I used to work for a guy that got by on 2 to 3 hours a night.
And he had energy?
And he would drive you crazy.
Okay.
He would drive you crazy.
Go ahead, Craig.
In fact, that brings up another story. But this one that happened back in 1959. Our family had just moved from Chicago to Minneapolis and moved into a new house. It was a four-level home where you had six steps down to the basement, then a garage level, then six steps up to the living room, and then six more steps up to the bedrooms. And we had moved to Minnesota in the winter. Well, my dad traveled for a living, so he was gone out of town. And it was my mother and my two sisters and myself, ages 7, 9, and 11, and sound asleep one night in this new house. This big crash, and I mean, it woke all of us up. And of course, all of us kids being little kids, I mean, we ran right to mom's bed and we just huddled there under the covers.
Yeah.
About 10 minutes later, a radio comes on. And by now we're thinking, what in the world? And if you've ever lived in a house in Minnesota in the middle of the winter, they pop and they crack and they creak as they get cold. They shrink and they expand. And every noise was someone coming up the stairs. And we sat huddled in that bed all night with a baseball bat across our laps, never slept again during the night, got up in the morning, came to realize a mirror had fallen off the wall in the basement, a clock radio had turned on in the bathroom downstairs, and the house was just making all kinds of noises. And we laughed ourselves silly because, you know, you scare yourself to death.
Oh, yeah, you really can.
Yeah. Let me tell you one quick story about Ted, the guy I used to work for that I said he was an insomniac.
Yeah.
He would spread his papers over the living floor. And you remember when the lunar lander first went to the moon? And he's doing his paperwork, and he fell asleep while he was doing some paperwork, woke up, didn't realize that during the time that he had fallen asleep, they had lost contact with the lunar lander. And what they were doing was they were basically showing you what was happening on the moon by doing it on a soundstage someplace.
Yeah, some simulation.
Yeah, so he's watching this thing. Well, accidentally, this guy with just a white shirt and tie and his little headset on walks into the shot. And Ted just about broke his neck because he sat up like, where in the world did that guy come from on the moon?
That's funny.
But he's just, he was a character. Anyway, love your show. I'll keep listening.
All right, thing. It's some of that simulation, I think, that has got some of the people believing that we never did go to the moon because it was so lifelike. Let's go to our wild card line. You're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Gina from Ocotillo, Washington.
Hello, Gina.
This happened back in, oh, I would say probably 76, 77, because I was in third or fourth grade, and it had been raining. I lived down in the desert of California at the time, and we were outside having recess, and I got all wet. So I went into the office and asked the office personnel if I could call home to get some dry clothes. And so they said, sure. So I pick up the phone and I dial my home number.
Uh-huh.
But in the meantime, I listen and it doesn't ring. All you can hear is this, help me, help me. Help me, help me. And I stopped and I went, I can't get through. There's somebody saying, help me. It sounded like maybe an older man or an old lady. And so the office staff picked up the phone and listened. And so they got a hold of the telephone company, but told me to go on to my classroom. And I never did find out what happened.
Something must have happened, though. And in those days, I think you had party lines and all kinds of crosstalk. Somebody was in trouble.
Yeah, but that's all you could hear was that, help me, help me.
All right. Here's my trivia question. It's a movie, a trivia question. What movie did that line occur in?
The Fly.
You got it. You got it. That's a classic, isn't it? Sure is. Hey, thanks. Appreciate you being part of the program. Let us go next to our West of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George. This is Doug, Portland, Oregon. Listen
Hello,
on 11.
Doug.
How you doing? Listen Good. On 1190KX.
Absolutely. The powerhouse.
Hey. Yes, indeed. Hey, I was going to ask you a question. What happened to, what was that guy's name? Tom Biscotti?
Tom Biscotti was attempting, as you well know, to find Bigfoot. And never did, and claims that he was duped by some people. And he's out there in the hinterland still looking because I heard that he was out in Illinois somewhere. But, nope, he's come up dry as far as Bigfoot's concerned.
Okay, well, he might want to look up the upper Clackamas area of just east of Portland a little bit.
What's going on up there?
Well, this happened to me, this is probably about 6 years ago. My wife and I were up there camping, and it was after Memorial Day weekend was over with, and we went around to it was the Roaring River Campground up there, and we were going there and collecting the firewood the people left behind, and there was this ledge up behind me, and I don't know, all of a sudden the hair started standing up on my back, and I turn around and look, all I seen was the top of this hairy thing, and he turned around and took off. I turned around and took off, and I heard this boom, boom, boom. And my wife was sitting in the car, and she said, I look like white as a ghost. And I said, honey, let's get the hell out of here.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, it, the whole Bigfoot thing, it really intrigues me, but, you know, I'm not one to be going out chasing after it by any means, but... I was just kind of wondering what happened to that guy, because
he didn't succeed, and you know there was a big squabble over some of the ways he went about doing what he was doing, and you know I jumped on him on the program and stuff like that, so he basically has faded away. But there are some great researchers out there and Bigfoot hunters. And I hope one day they find one or capture one without hurting it and let the world see what it could be. And I really believe that could very well be a missing link between ape and man somewhere.
Well, yeah, and if somebody captures it, it's definitely not going to be me. So
I don't blame you. You know, I'm not, I there's not a lot of things I fear. But I'm not stupid, and I don't want to put myself in a situation that I can't get out of, and that would be one. And even if I had a rifle, I wouldn't want to be there because I wouldn't want to have to be the guy to have to shoot it to defend myself. I'd rather just get in my car and hightail it out of there.
Yep, and that's exactly what I did.
Yep, so. I don't blame you.
But okay. Love your show, George, and I'm a truck driver, and you keep me awake A lot. You travel with me all across the country, bud.
Great. Do you get home on weekends, or are you just out all the time?
I'm out all the time. I'm home right now. But, I'm out about 3 weeks, and I get home for about 4 days. So
let me ask you something, because I'm looking at how things are going for guys who are in gals who are working in the automobile industry, and things are tough for them and stuff. Are you an independent trucker, or do you work for a company?
No, I work for a company.
Okay. Do they say how things are for them? I mean, are they just as busy as they've always been, or are things getting tighter for them too?
Well, actually... this time of year, from right after Christmas till probably around the middle of April, it's a slow time even for truckers. But
and what's going on with diesel fuel these days?
Very expensive, and thank God I don't have to pay for it because what happens is it just gets
passed on to us.
That's
absolutely
it.
We're paying. You're paying for it indirectly. I am too.
Yeah. Yep,
okay,
me too.
Okay, you drive carefully. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, George.
All right, let's go next to our creep line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there. How are you?
Fine, creep line.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm Sharon, calling from East Tennessee, Great Smoky Mountains area. I had something really strange happen to me a few years ago. My husband, son, and I, my son was like 8 years old at the time, went on vacation in Charleston, South Carolina. And in the downtown area, there is a visitor center that I found out later was an old railroad depot. And when we first got into that visitor center, my son started holding his ears, and he was looking at me, and he was in pain. I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "I hear this noise." He was hearing a real shrill, high-pitched noise that no one else could hear. I looked around. Nobody else could hear it. But he was really, he couldn't stand it. We had to get him out of there. I mean, he was to the point of tears.
Oh, my gosh.
So as we exited, we came exited out of a side door, not in the main entrance that we had originally went in. And when I came out of that side door, I just came to a complete stop. My heart started pounding. My husband looked at me and said, "What is wrong?" I said, "I've been here in a dream. I've never been to Charleston, South Carolina before that, nor even after." I said, "I can tell you, to the left of me, down this block, what is around the corner, what buildings and what they look like." And he looked real strange, like, "What's going on?" I said, "I'm telling you, I know what's around the corner." I described the buildings to him. One had a pink front. It was a beauty salon or a beauty shop of sorts. The other one was had something to do with like blacksmithing or metal something. And I remember that in my dream, someone was chasing me and trying to kill me. I was running for my life in the dream. But I just stood there, and my husband and son went walking around that block where I told him, and he came back, and he was very pale, and he looked at me with his mouth open. He said, "The first shop I saw was a beauty shop with a pink front." He described everything I said was already around the block, and I had never been there before. And it just absolutely freaked us all out, and the rest of the day, I couldn't believe it. I had, and it wasn't any kind of a past life experience or anything like that. I remember the dream, but I had never thought of the dream until I actually stepped onto that sidewalk, and I knew I had been there in a dream.
Do you still suffer from deja vu? Does that happen for you?
No, it was. I've had deja vu like everyone else, just average deja vu. But this was way beyond deja vu. I knew what was. What those buildings were around the corner. I described the facades. I described it all to him.
Yeah, you'd been there sometime before. Yeah, that's incredible.
In a dream, I remember the dream specifically. Well, this was like in 1995. About 4 years ago or 3 years ago, there was a two-hour special on A&E Channel or Discovery, one of those, and it was called Hauntings, and it was a two-hour special specifically on Charleston, South Carolina. And it turns out that where my son was hearing the shrill noise, that was a slave trading. It was a place where there were slave trading offices or whatever.
That's weird. Something happened.
Yeah, something in that whole area. And it was just, it only affected my son and I, but I know that I had been there in a dream. It was just really creepy because I knew what those buildings were around that corner.
Okay, thanks for the call. Appreciate you being part of the program. We've got time for a few more before the break. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. Hi there. Welcome to the program.
Hello, George.
Hi.
I called about 3 or 4 months ago to find out about what happened to Jacques Cousteau's ship, the Calypso.
The Calypso was sold.
Yeah.
And it's being remodeled, I guess.
I don't have a computer, so I use you as my big-time dictionary.
I will be your computer.
In the late 20s and during the 30s, the United States Navy had Zeppelins as part of their fleet.
Yeah.
They had the Shenandoah, the Macon, and the Akron. All three of those went down with storms and, you know, they crashed. But there was a fourth ship, which was one of the first ones that was purchased from the Zeppelin company out of Germany, which was the Los Angeles. And it just kind of like disappeared. And I was wondering if you could find out what happened to that ship. I'm sure it was probably just, you know, dismantled or whatever. But I was just curious whatever happened to the Los Angeles.
It was called, and it was a balloon, right?
No, sir. It was a full Zeppelin. Full.
Well, that's what I mean by balloon.
Yeah. And it just kind of like disappeared. It didn't go down in flames or anything like the Hindenburg. And it was, of course, no, we used helium over here. But I was just curious if what happened to it. Was it decommissioned or is it sitting in some warehouse someplace? It'd be real neat if they could pull that baby back out.
Well, let's check here. Let's see if I can find it. I'm going to see if I can get it right now, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
We have an incredible research system here.
You're all the
best. The airship renamed. It used to be called. Okay. It used to be called the Zeppelin, as a matter of fact, but they changed the name to the Los Angeles.
Okay.
Even though the company was called Luftschiffbau Zeppelin.
Yes, sir.
And let's see what happened to the Los Angeles.
I've seen pictures of it flying over the
Capitol. The airship, renamed the Los Angeles, could accommodate 30 passengers and had sleeping facilities similar to those on Pullman Railroad cars. The Los Angeles made some 250 flights, including trips to Puerto Rico and Panama. And it was later to be used on U.S. airship. No. They don't say what happened to the thing. Where did it go? It didn't crash.
No.
I wonder if it's over at the Smithsonian somewhere.
I don't know. It's just, it was a great ship. It served what, it did not, like I said, the Shenandoah crashed and the Macon and the Akron, they all went down. The Los Angeles just kind of like faded away.
All right. Well, we'll have somebody do a little research. They'll send me some fast blasts on it. And I bet if they can find it, we will get it on for you.
Sounds good. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. And if you need to email me, that is george@coasttocoastam.com. You can do that just about any time. But, yeah, fast blast me on this, because since he has asked me, I'll never get to sleep until I can get the answer. Does that ever happen to you? You have to think of something or somebody's name, maybe an entertainer, and you cannot stop unless you remember it. So this one was called the Los Angeles. And it was a Zeppelin, obviously. Find out what happened to it, because the story I have, which is pretty comprehensive, doesn't say anything about what became of that ship. By the way, this weekend again, Ian Punnett, live, 6 p.m. Pacific time until 10 o'clock. And then I'm bringing in George Knapp to host the show on Area 51. Nobody's going to do it better, so he's perfect for this. And then I'm in for Art on Sunday. So we'll do that, and I would hope, well, let's see, 1, 2, 3. I think Art's going to be gone 3 weekends. This is the second weekend. I'll be back on Coast to Coast AM. You know, as you know, I have a system where our science advisor, Richard C. Hoagland, can send me an instant message, and he is doing so now. We're in contact, and Richard is saying, I've got to get on very quickly, George. Richard, of course, heads up the enterprisemission.com. Richard, what's the urgency? Hi, how are you?
Good morning, George. You know, I've kind of made a pact with this audience that whatever we find, no matter where it leads, we will tell them the truth, and we'll tell them as soon as we can document what we found.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I found something so extraordinary that I just had to get to the Coast audience to let them know, to give them some warning. We have proof that you are a CIA operative.
And you are breaking this, and you are stone. You, Richard.
I'm sorry, George. Our friendship means a lot to me, but the Coast audience needs to know that you are a paid operative of the global international conspiracy.
I can't believe you're breaking that.
Well, what would you expect me to do on April Fool?
That's Richard C. Hoagland, folks. Back in a moment. Gosh, Richard almost had me going. He was so darn serious about that. That was a good one. Hey, by the way, October 1939, the airship Los Angeles was dismantled. So they probably just took it apart. And that's what they mean by dismantled. It is no more. Let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up, first of all, by going to our creepy hotline. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hey.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks. This was about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago. My friend and I, he was taking me home because we had just been out, you know, getting breakfast or whatever, and it was probably around 3 or 4 in the morning. And we were just going down the road, and we were turning in near my house, and there's this church, which is, you know, it's pretty old and creepy in and of itself. And it has a small little cemetery behind it where, you know, most of the people are actually distant family members of mine. And we noticed in the cemetery that there was a strange little glow, like, on one of the tombstones. And we're ghost hunters, so by nature, we were curious, and we, you know, went back behind the church and pulled up near the gravestone, and we parked down facing with the front of the car facing downhill, and we parked in such a way that if anything strange happened, we could just jump in the car and take off.
Yeah.
So we went over to the tombstone, and before we got there, we could see that it was just a kind of like a glowing cross, sort of like the little walkway markers that people have where, you know, they're solar powered. And it was, I mean, I'd never seen the grave before, though. I'm guessing it was a new one. And so I was looking at it, and then I was looking at the cross, and I put my hand on it, and I was about to pick it up to see, you know, the solar panel and all. And at that time, the door closest to the church, the driver's door, slammed shut. My friend and I ran like little girls. He jumped in through the passenger side, all the way to his side. I landed on his foot because I was right behind him, and we took off.
And never turned around.
Never turned around. Of course, we went back later when we were prepared for something.
Sure.
Something happened. But, yeah, that really just... Yeah, it's one of the more notable experiences that we've had.
You know, and that's something you'll never, never forget. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there, George. It's Julie.
Hi, Julie.
From Salinas, California. And I had a quick story, a story that my father always told. This was back in Oklahoma, and it was probably in maybe the late 40s or mid-40s, and
all right.
They lived in this house out in the country, my grandmother's house, and a car would drive up. You could see the lights flash on the living room window. That somebody would come up and knock on the door. They would open the door, and there was no one there. And that happened, two or three times. And so they thought they were going to get wise to whoever. They thought it was somebody playing a prank. So they agreed that the next time that happened, they would go out the back door, and one would go around the house one way and the other one go around the house opposite way.
Catch them if they were there,
yeah,
huh?
And meet in the middle. And whenever that happened, they went through with their plan. They got around in the middle. They saw the lights. They heard the knock on the door. There wasn't a car. There wasn't anything in that front yard.
Ooh.
Scared the bejeebies out of them. And another quick little story. My mother passed away in 1988, and we were on our way to her funeral, and we were late. We were running a little late, and we had a very good friend that used to visit my mother all the time, and we passed him on the highway on the way to the funeral, but he lived in a little travel trailer, so we didn't have any way of getting a hold of him to let him know that she had passed away. And so about 2 weeks later, he comes to our front door, and I told my husband, I go, oh, now we're got to tell Bob about Mom, and he's going to be upset. And so I opened the door, and I said, hello, and I said, Bob, there's something I need to tell you. He said, you don't have to tell me. I already know your mother passed away.
How do you know?
I said, who told you? He goes, your mother did.
She visited him.
He said, I was laying in bed and she came to me. And he said, she just hovered over my bed and she told me that she was fine. There was nothing to worry about. And everything would be all right. And they had this little conversation, and then she just disappeared and went on.
How did you feel when he said that to you, that she had visited me, when he knew?
That kind of creeped me out, to tell you the truth. And usually, you know, things like that don't bother me too much. My father has always told me I'm the seventh child of a seventh child, so he always told me I had special powers and abilities that other people didn't have.
They say you're supposed to.
Yeah, and but whenever our friend Bob told me that, it was like, ooh, I just kind of, you know, got the chills all over.
I would guess so. Well, sometimes the phones. Well, we got the crux of it. First time caller line. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is David from Sylmar, California. I'm a new listener. I was listening to a lady earlier. She was talking about a presence and felt something on her bed. But you made a comment about, was it the paralyzed kind? Well, I've had those since I was a kid. I was just curious to what exactly that meant.
Sometimes it's a medical condition. Doesn't mean anything serious in most cases, that they call sleep paralysis, unless you happen to suffer the old hag syndrome, where a lot of people have this paralysis, but they also see this ugly old hag kind of pressing them down and holding them down. That doesn't happen to you, does it?
Not with the vision, but I was fortunate enough as a kid to have a waterbed, and I felt myself go down in the waterbed with my back pressed against the plywood, you know.
Like something was weighing you down?
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird. Okay, that's a little different from sleep paralysis, where you simply can't move. You know, sleep paralysis, you're like frozen. You know, you're in this somewhat sleep, I'm awake state, and you just kind of, you can't move. But in your particular case, somebody was holding you down.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I thought, you know, you had a little insight. I also, you know, I've had experience with the shadow people, although I never had a term for it, but they weren't little like your listeners described. Mine were big, like a doorway size.
Well, you know what? Earlier this week, my guest Heidi Hollis talked about that they are in various sizes, some of them 8 to 15 feet tall.
Oh, okay.
So maybe that was happening to you.
Yeah.
Appreciate you being on the program. Next up, let's go to our wildcard line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, this is Richard from Alabama.
Hi, Richard.
Appreciate your program. I'm a new listener. I started back in June when I began to work third shift as a police officer.
Well, great.
Couple of things. My best friend passed away this past April, and about 4 months ago, I was in pursuit of a vehicle that had been stolen. And it wrecked just down the block from the house where he passed away. And the guy jumped out of the truck, and I began to pursue him down the side of the road, and he ran through my best friend's backyard. And as he got in the backyard, he fell to the ground. He got back up, and he took a couple more steps, and he fell to the ground again. Well, I thought he was in a hole. I thought he was tripping over a limb, so I kind of backed up, and I didn't want to fall as well and
lose
my balance. So I got to him, finally got him handcuffed, and I asked him, I said, man, what were you falling for? I said, are you drunk? He said, no, I don't know what it is. He said, there was something that just kept knocking me down to the ground.
It's your buddy.
Yeah, I really believe that. You know, I've not experienced these kind of things except since my mother passed away a few years ago. I was on my way to Tuscaloosa to see her before she passed away. And I passed the church where my father had gotten saved and baptized many, many, many years ago. And in my truck, it was like my father got in the truck, and all I could see was the top of his head and his hair. I was 11 years old when he passed away. He had real black hair, and it was like he rode from Selma to Tuscaloosa. And he told me, he said, son, he said, I've been waiting for your mother a long time, and I'm ready for her to be with me. And I know it's going to be hard on you, but I want you to know she's going to be with me. So I went to the hospital. I put my hands on my mother, and I said, Mom, it's okay. You can die. It's, you know, we're going to let you go. We're going to miss you, but your daddy's waiting for you. And she did. She drew her last breath. Well, after we, as the family gathered together, I got back in the truck, and I was headed back home. And when we got back to the church, as I was passing the church, it was like my dad said, son, are you going to let me out? This is where I get off, you know. And I let him out. I stopped the truck, and I actually just sat there a few minutes, and it was like he got out of the truck. And I've not had that experience, but it's like people that I've loved and I've cared for so much, there's times that they comfort me, or they're there. They fill in when I'm in need of something. You know, they're there. And it's been real meaningful for me.
Well, and you get a real understanding of the hereafter, too. You really do.
Yeah, it's really, I believe that so very much. I believe that there is a life after this, and I believe that it's all planned for us if we'll just accept it. One other thing, and I'll let you go.
Okay.
I've recently leased some property, and it is on a website as a slave prison. And the story is on the internet. I didn't put it there. I don't know who did. I wished I did. But they said you can walk across my pasture, and I'll fly away, and you'll see three black men hanging from a tree. I don't have a problem with that story being there, but I would like for your audience to know that if you read something like this and you're going on private property, please, please, whatever, do not destroy the property, because they're tearing my fence down. People find this on the internet.
Oh, absolutely.
And I've got constantly people trespassing and tearing my fences down so that they might experience this. So if you're
I can understand that, yeah.
You know,
and you imagine, can you imagine the horror of those days when it was indeed a slave prison?
Yeah, well, see, I didn't even know this. It was destroyed in the 29. We had a flood in 1929, and it was destroyed. Everything that was there was covered in water. But, you know, and I wasn't aware of it. I thought it was a lumber company, and that's what it had been used for after that period of time. It had to be something horrible. But, you know, I don't know if it's true or not, but I just ask people to be mindful. It belongs to someone else, and if you want to come out, so be it. Just don't tear my fences down.
No, absolutely. Thanks, officer. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
Can you imagine how many things this country has been through since its inception? Oh, my gosh. The Civil War, Revolutionary War, all the other battles. Oh, man. Slavery, everything else, 9/11. I guess that's part of living, though, isn't it? And as I've said before, I still think we're going to be in for some incredibly tense times, but we're all in it together, no matter what happens. And whenever it happens, you're not alone. You're not isolated, you know, and so many people tend to think they are because it affects them in some way, but it affects everybody, all of us. We're all in this together. As a matter of fact, I think it's time to get a little chuckle. I'd like to take your week into a little laugh. So sit back and relax and listen to this, because this was a guy who was late for a meeting with his boss, because this is why.
Hey, Mark, excuse me. I'm on my way to 3768. Kind of got hung up. It's raining out here. I'm on my way into Dallas. Jerry's probably going to be calling you to find out where I'm at if he can't get a hold of me, I'm sure. So thought, whoa. Man, I just had a wreck right in front of me. This guy ran a red light and hit four old ladies in an Impala. Just kind of clipped them and turned them around right in front of me, man. That was close. Oh, now this guy's getting out of his car. He's got a white shirt on with a tie and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. He's throwing his hands up in the air like it was their fault. Oh, hold on. He's going over to their window. She's rolling down the window. Oh, man, I think she sprayed him with pepper spray, man. He's holding his face and he's on his knee. She's getting out, she's beating him with an umbrella. The other women are getting out, too. There's one woman with a little black person. She's tomahawking him, man. She looks like a Sunbelt 20 horsepower jackhammer. Blah, blah, blah. We got another woman that's she's hitting him like she's got a cattle prod, man. She's got an umbrella and she's sticking it in his side. Oh, there's another one that it's a little woman who looks like Mother Goose. She's beating him. She's got this U-bit bag. She's got this U-bit bag. It's huge. It's about the size of her. She's about 4 foot nothing. She hit him over the head. Everything went all over the place. Her Bible fell. She just hit him in the head with a Bible. She picked this Bible up and she lifted it way over her head. It was a hardback NVI version. Oh, they're still beating the out of this guy. She picked this Bible up and raised it up above her head and just beamed the guy. This guy's not getting up. They're still hitting him. The one with the little black person still. Oh, pieces of him. Okay, he's up on the little woman's just beating him again with that big bag. He's running to his car. He's out of here. The little bitty Mother Goose woman. She's stuck into him and she's driving off. Oh, I wish you would have been here, man. Oh, this is too good.
I love that guy's laugh. God, it's infectious. For Karis Coburn, Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudisori, and Punnett and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. I'll see you on our next edition of Coast to Coast, which for me it'll be Sunday. Until then, be safe, everyone.